Once again, it's an honor and a blessed privilege to be allowed this opportunity to fill in for Brother David. He probably preached for the saints in Danville this morning and is preaching tonight at Lexington for the saints where Todd Nybert is the pastor. So pray that the Lord will bring him safely home and give him good utterance also tonight as he preaches the gospel of God's sovereign amazing grace. My wife and I have several great-grandchildren now. Our oldest granddaughter has two sons, two sons, and one is around seven. I'm not sure if he's seven yet, but the other one is 10 months old. And I was talking with my son the other day, and he was over there visiting with them, and he said, our youngest grandson, great-grandson, and his youngest grandson, he's got a mouthful of teeth now, and he was trying to bite his older brother. Well, that's just typical of our fallen nature. We're estranged from our mother's womb, going astray and speaking lies, and that old nature shows up right away. It's interesting, it's sad, but it's true that we don't have to teach our children to lie. We have to teach them not to lie. And all through this life, that old nature tries to dominate. When the Lord, as Brother Larry brought out in Sunday school this morning, when the Lord sends his spirit into our heart and enlightens our minds and performs the miracle of the new birth, when he passes by us and says, live, then we have a new nature. He makes us partakers of his divine nature. And that old nature is still with us, and it tries to dominate, tries to get control. It's not when we sin. I mean, if we sin, it's when we sin. That's what we are. And I want to ask you to turn to 1 Samuel 13 as we look into this subject of a man after God's own heart. David was a man after God's own heart. And he knew a little bit about that old nature. But God had given him faith, and we know that God did because we read about David being a man of faith in Hebrews 11. Now, Brother David, in his message last Sunday, shared this responsibility of every preacher sent from God. We must get our hearers lost before they will see their need of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that's so true. We must keep before those that come into the assembly to hear the message that the Lord has laid on our heart. We must remind ourselves as well, and those who are listening to us, that we died in Adam. We fell in Adam. And there's not one good thing that God sees in any of us. Not one good thing. We see good in others. We see good in our children. We see good in our parents and grandparents and friends and associates. But that good that we see is a good that they are performing before us, not before God, unless the Spirit of God dwells in them. And so we're not bad-mouthing your grandparents or your children or your spouse, we're just telling the truth. In us, that is in our flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And until we see that, until God is pleased to reveal that to us, we will not see our need of Christ to be our Savior. We will not. We cannot. We're blind to that. Now, our Lord taught this. He said, those who are well do not need a physician. And that's so true. We don't go to the doctor. I don't even like to go to the doctor when I'm sick. But we don't go to the doctor if we're feeling good. Now, our Lord said this. And boy, do we need to lay this to heart. Without me, he can do nothing. Nothing. Now, religious folks have a desire to worship. Matter of fact, that desire's probably in everybody. We have some kind of an idol that we worship. But even if they're religious, they're still lost if they don't have Christ. Reminds me of people who get involved in raising animals for the state fair, and that's a good thing. Our youngest son and his wife taught our two granddaughters this very truth, that you put a little effort into something and you'll reap. And so they taught them to take care of a couple of pigs, raise them up, do good to them, let them know that you're the master, and feed them good food and get them prepared for the fair. But you know, you can do that. You can dress up a pig. You can take big old toothbrush and Colgate toothpaste and brush its teeth and take it to the fair and win a blue ribbon. But it's still a pig. You can't change it. And consider this scripture. You don't have to turn there. It's in Jeremiah 13:23. And God is speaking through him with these questions. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. And that's from the Word of God. And we read in the third chapter of Romans, there's none good. There's none that doeth good. There's none that seeketh after God. They've all gone astray. That's speaking to us, all of us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And all false religionists, all false preachers and those who follow them, they all hate God. They all hate Jesus Christ, who is God. Their feet stink and they don't love Jesus. Well, how do I know that's true? Well, the Bible tells us that all men are liars. And the Word of God also tells us that we hate God. We're enmity against God. Well, Pastor, how do you know their feet stink? Well, from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet, there's no soundness in any of us. That's what the Word of God teaches. And we're full of putrefying sores. Sores that just ooze pus out constantly. And everything about the natural man is a stench in the nostrils of God Almighty. So their feet stink. My feet stink. But those who have Christ dwelling in them, those who have the honor of preaching the gospel or witnessing for Christ, the Word of God tells us our feet are beautiful. But that old nature is still there. And because of that Adamic nature, all of us need Jesus Christ and his righteousness. We need the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We need to be washed in the pure, precious blood of Jesus Christ. The death of Jesus Christ reconciled us to God, and we need to know that. Jesus Christ was delivered for our offenses, which I quoted earlier, was raised again for our justification. Jesus Christ was the one who rose from the dead after he paid the redemption price in full for our sins and entered into glory and sat down on the right hand of the Father on high. Now that doesn't mean that he's not on his throne of glory. He is. That means Jesus Christ is God's strong right arm. He is the power of God. And folks, listen. We were raised with him. And we were made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now David knew that. He knew that God had delivered him. And that's what we want to talk about. When God puts his spirit in us. And I've preached a message not long ago about the heart. The heart is where we think. Our Lord Jesus taught this. He said that my mind is slipping. He said that out of the heart, man speaketh lies. That's where the evil is. He plots different things to do that's evil. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And when God sends his spirit into our heart, we have the mind of Christ. And we start talking about things that are pure, just, lovely, of good report, and if there be any virtue or any praise, we think on these things. Now, why is that? Why do we do that? Well, the Word of God tells us, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And so Jesus Christ is the object of all worship and all praise, and the new heart, or that spirit that dwells in us, we want to give him all the glory. And so we praise him and thank him for what he has done. Now, and who he is. David had some knowledge about God's sovereignty over all flesh. But he had to have that new heart. He knew he was a sinner, but he was a man after God's own heart. And we read that in the scriptures. We read that David was a man after God's own heart, and so the Lord put his spirit in him. We read that in Acts chapter 13, and we read it here in 2 Samuel 13 and verse You'll please forgive me. I get ahead of my notes. 1 Samuel 13, verse 14. We read this. That is not it. Oh, I'm in 2 Samuel. I'm so sorry. 1 Samuel 13 and verse 14. The Word of God tells us this, that David was a man after God's own heart. Let me read this. And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever." Now verse 14. "But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. So David was a man after God's own heart. And we know that when God sends the Spirit of His Son into our heart, that's the miracle of the new birth. And I need to make this statement because I know it's true. Every man and every woman that was chosen by God before this world began, redeemed by Jesus Christ when He suffered there on the cross, and quickened by God the Holy Spirit, every person that has Christ dwelling in them is a man or a woman after God's own heart. Now, I don't know about you, but that blesses me. And I want to share this truth with you, and I hope it excites you, that this God that we serve, who is sovereign over everything, has given us a heart that He is pleased with. Now, He's not talking about the heart that we come into this world with. He's not talking about David, who came in with a sinful heart. He's not talking about that heart. He's talking about Christ. Christ is God's heart. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is God's heart. And we have God's heart dwelling in us, Jesus Christ. And those who have Christ dwelling in them follow after Christ. We love Him. We want to serve Him. We want to praise Him. Now let me take you over to 2 Samuel 16, if you'll turn there. And David had some knowledge about God's sovereignty. He knew a little bit about God's sovereignty. David, like all of God's enlightened saints, had two natures. And he manifested both. He sinned against God, yes, we all do. But his desire was to praise God and give Him all the glory for His absolute sovereign grace. Now, David had to flee from his son Absalom. And when he did, there was a man that followed David, cursing him. And here in 2 Samuel chapter 16, I want to start reading at verse 5. When King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came, and he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abiathar, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. Well, he was a follower of David. He didn't like that at all. And the king said, now these are the words of David, and he knew a little bit about God's sovereignty. He said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse. Now listen to this. Because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David, Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? He said, David said, the Lord hath sent him to curse me. He knew, David knew, that the Lord controlled every heart. And that's the sovereignty of the Lord we serve. And this reminds me, and it should remind us also, of Job. Job said basically the same thing. His sons and daughters were having a feast and a party in a house, and Satan came before the Lord and accused Job. And we know the story. Our Lord said to him, have you considered my servant Job? Well, Satan didn't like that at all. And he said, yeah, you take away all those things that you've given him, and he'll curse you. So the Lord gave Satan permission. Now, what I'm saying is this. The devil is God's devil, and he can't do anything but what God allows him to do. And he had to get permission from God before these things happened to Job. The house fell. His sons and daughters died. All of his livestock, he was a very rich, wealthy man. All of his servants, they were all taken away from him. But Job said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we could go on and on. But I'm just saying that Job had the same understanding, and David had the same understanding, that God gives all of his enlightened saints. Our Lord Jesus, our great triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, reigns over this whole universe and everything in it. And I thought about this the other day. It's easier for God to move a whole nation of people than it is for us to push a marble across the hardwood floor. That's the power of our God. And David had that understanding. He was a man after God's own heart. And I'm so thankful that God has given us that understanding. If you turn back to chapter 12 of 2 Samuel, just a couple chapters back, and I want to continue on this subject of a man after God's own heart. David yielded to the flesh and committed adultery with Bathsheba. And then he plotted the death of Uriah, her husband. And he, David, just continued like nothing was wrong. I heard someone say this years ago, and I can't remember who it was, but a very well-known, prominent preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know if it's Henry Mahan, Don Fortner, or Maurice Montgomery. I can't remember. But I remember when he made this statement that I'm about to share with you, that I sat up on the edge of my pew and was just in awe. Just in awe. I knew it was true because the Word of God tells us, and Larry brought that out in his Sunday school lesson, God loves us with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, he draws us unto himself. And the preacher said this. He said, God loved David just as much when he was committing adultery in the arms of Bathsheba as he did when David was running down to face Goliath. Now, think about that. God's love is not determined on what we do or what we do not do. God's love is an attribute of God. He is love. What David did was not pleasing to God. We can please God or we can not please Him. But that didn't change God's love for David. That love will constantly be in our hearts because Christ is God's love. And Christ dwells in us. So here in 2 Samuel 12, we read this. Oh, I am so sorry. Well, let me just quote what I was going to read. God sent his prophet to David and told David that he had sinned against God. And this is another proof of God's love for his people. There were many committing adultery in those days, but God sent Nathan to David, sent his prophet to David, and told David he is the one who sinned against God. And David repented and confessed his sin. God not only sent the prophet to him, God granted David repentance, and God forgave David, and Nathan said, "You shall not surely die." Well, our Lord taught this very truth. He said, there were many widows in the day of Elijah, but God sent his prophet only to one. And he said, there were many lepers in the days of Elisha, but God sent his prophet to only one. And that infuriated the people who were hearing him, and they took him out of the synagogue and would have cast him over a hill and killed him, but it wasn't his time and he evaded him. Folks, we sin against God, but God has sent us a preacher, Brother David Edmondson. And he keeps this very truth before us every time he preaches, that we're sinners and we need to be reminded of God's grace and his mercy in our lives, granting us forgiveness of sins because of Christ. We have been forgiven for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. And we should be supportive of our pastor. Highly esteem him. I know this. God's preachers do not have to coerce God's people to come to church. I know we can't be here every time the doors are open for public worship. We sometimes get sick, sometimes we're on a trip, but our hearts are still here. And we don't have to coerce God's people to give of our time, our prayers, our talents, our monies. It's God who works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God will, by his Spirit, move us to do that which will give him all the glory. And we should delight in the fact that he has done that. There's a reason why we're to do all things without murmuring. There's a reason. I'll tell you what that reason is. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, I was going to bring some more out, but I can't even find my scriptures. Let me take you over to the book of Romans, if you would turn there with me, please, to the 8th chapter. Romans chapter 8. And I want to bring this as a closing passage so that we can be reminded of a wonderful, blessed truth. God will never leave us nor forsake us. Now, David was a man after God's own heart, but he still feared death. He shouldn't have, but he did. After he had been delivered from the hand of Saul time and time and time again, David still cried out with fear that Saul might kill him. And fear grips our hearts when we take our eye off of Christ and start looking at self. We should not do that, but we're human and we have that old nature to contend with. But David never lost sight of God and his eternal covenant of grace. Brother Larry quoted this in his lesson, but let me quote it again. Some of David's last words were, "Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow." Now David had children who were not in that eternal covenant, and he grieved over them. But he knew, David knew, that God had established this everlasting covenant with him. And God's children today who have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in them know that very same truth. We're God's children by virtue of an eternal covenant of grace. Our Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit met in way back in old eternity. The Father promised the Lord Jesus children, sons and daughters, conditional upon what he would do when he sent him to this earth. And he did everything that the Father sent him to do. And there was a voice that came from heaven speaking of Jesus Christ saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." Now we must hear the gospel. We must. But it's not the voice of the preacher that reveals God and his wonderful grace through the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit. Our Heavenly Father is the one who reveals this to us, and our Lord Jesus taught that while he was here on this earth. He told his disciples when Peter, being a spokesman, said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," he said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." So this understanding of God's eternal covenant and of his grace and his mercy through the perfect redeeming work of Christ Jesus has to be revealed. We must hear the voice of Jesus Christ. Now, false religionists, and I'm not a bit bashful about speaking out against them, they serve another Jesus, another spirit. They have another gospel. And it robs God of his glory. Did you hear that? It robs God of his glory. When David went down, sent from his father, to see how his brethren were doing, that were facing the Philistines, ready to go to battle, his older brother rebuked him. And David said, "Is there not a cause?" Well, let me ask you, God's glory is at stake. Is there not a cause? Our testimony must be Jesus Christ, who he is, what he has done, where he is now, and what he's doing right now. That's our testimony. Have you ever considered these words of Holy Scripture? The Word of God says to us, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What is our light? Jesus Christ is our light. David wrote these words, "The Lord shall light my candle." I think that's how it's worded. And God has lit my candle, your candle, if Christ dwells in you. Jesus Christ is our light. And we must tell folks that. Well, what are our good works? The works of Jesus Christ are our good works. We're not teaching that God's children should live licentiously. No, we tell God's children, hate sin, run from sin. Don't be involved with those things that dishonors God. Serve the Lord with all your heart and tell others that He's the one who redeemed you. He's your true and living God, that He by Himself purged our sins, that He was delivered for our offenses. You know, this just boggles my mind when I think about this, that every sin that I committed, that I'm committing, or that I will commit, was nailed to the cross. Our Lord bore all of my sins in His own body on the tree. Absolutely nothing can be laid to the charge of God's elect. You all believe that? I believe that. God help my unbelief. And I want to get excited about that. The two on the road to Emmaus heard the Lord speaking and expounding unto them in all the scriptures concerning Himself, and their hearts burned within them as He opened unto them the scriptures. That's my prayer. That's my desire. That when I hear these truths, and I hear them every time we meet here, then my heart burns within me. And I want that to be known to the folks that I associate with. Jesus Christ reveals His word to me. And false preachers hate God, hate Jesus Christ, hate His gospel. They're trying to dethrone God. They're trying to take Him off of His throne. They will not worship a sovereign God. And the cause is this. We need to be set for the defense of the gospel. And false preachers are also teaching that Jesus Christ died for everybody, and some for whom Christ died is going to go to eternal torment. That's a lie right out of the pit. Our Lord Jesus said, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I also must bring. None will be lost. There will not be an empty seat in heaven. All for whom Christ died will be there with Him, worshiping Him in spirit and in truth for all eternity." And here in Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul, writing under divine inspiration, said this, starting verse 33, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or tribulation, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now I'm telling you the truth. none for whom Christ died will be turned into eternal torment. Now we have the words from Christ himself that teaches us that if the world hated him, they will hate us. And we read in the scriptures, through much tribulation shall we enter into the kingdom of God. We're going to be persecuted. We're going to be hated. Our loved ones are going to turn away from us. We're going to have difficulties and trials. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Now, David was an old man when he died, but not as old as I am right now. He was 70 years old, but he lay shivering and could not get warm. But he was still a man after God's own heart. We must never lose sight of who controls everything. And we might suffer. When we get old, we might go through some kind of a painful disease. We might, in our walk in this life, stumble and fall and even break a bone. But those are not accidents. With God, there are no accidents. He has purposed everything for our good and for our glory, for His glory. In all of these things, God has determined that we would go through them. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. All things. And help us to lay this to heart. No matter what happens, I'm not worried about the war that seems to be developing over between Russia and Ukraine. I'm not worried about that. I know God's got a purpose for that. I don't know what's going to develop yet, but that's why I watch the news, to see what God's doing. I'm telling you, He's in control. And God help us to look to Jesus Christ as our sovereign Lord. There are people today, false religionists, who are being taught by false preachers that it's okay not to have Jesus as your Lord. Just make sure He's your Savior and you can have Him as Lord later on down the line. That's a lie. They go together. You can't separate them. And the first thing that we read about this salvation in the Holy Scriptures, in this verse, is that if we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God has raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. His Lord comes first, and raised from the dead for us is connected to that. You can't separate them. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Oh God, help us to see that He has purposed whatever it is that we're allowed to go through. My time is up. I'm sorry. But anyway, may the Lord be pleased to remind us that we're children after God's own heart, that He by Himself chose us to be in Him for all eternity.